the blessings of the love and respect we offer to all, in times past and present, who have opened the doors of wisdom, reuniting all beings with their intrinsic purity. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. The recitation of this rosary ever expands the awakening of faith in the three jewels, Bodhi, Dharma, and Sangha. Bodhi, Saranam, Gacchami, Dutiyampi, Satyampi, Sabha. I turn to the perfect nature of truth for guidance. Again and yet again, may it be so. Dharmam Saranam Gacchami, Dutiyampi, Satyampi, Sabha. I turn to the teachings for guidance. Again and yet again, may it be so. Sangham Saranam Gacchami, Dutiyampi, Satyampi, Sabha. I turn to the holy order for guidance. Again and yet again, may it be so. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Dukkha, the noble truth of suffering. Dukkha Samudaya, the noble truth of the origin of suffering. Dukkha Nirodha, the noble truth of the extinction of suffering. Dukkha Nirodha, Gamini Hakupada, the noble truth of the path that leads to the extinction of suffering. So long as these four noble truths are not understood, we shall wander in sorrow and ignorance. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. All formations are transient, anicca. All formations are subject to suffering, dukkha. All things are without a self, anatta. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Namo Prajna Paramita Hridaya, homage to the wisdom in the heart. Form is not different from emptiness. Emptiness is not different from form. This is the teaching of our spiritual ancestors, Gautama Buddha, and all the great teachers who have transmitted the Dharma to this holy day. Blessed is the knowledge of emptiness. Homage to the devotees of this and all paths of self-purification. May all find simplicity, the joyous and practical guide. The Dharma, being the contents of enlightenment, in which there is no bondage and no suffering, offers freedom from the cankers of ignorance and fear. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Sangha is the holy order of spiritual ancestors, monks, priests, and all those who follow and practice this path. Homage to the Sangha. Homage to all who are approaching this holy path. Homage to all who follow and establish this holy path. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. By my passionate comprehension that dissipates delusion, by my passionate aspiration that harms no one, by my passionate speech that makes for clarity, by my passionate self-discipline that brings no regret, by my compassionate livelihood that brings no discredit, not a compassionate endeavor that results in goodness. Thy compassionate mindfulness that proves this path. Thy compassionate awareness that leads to nirvana. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. With this recitation, I do confirm my acceptance of these three pure precepts. The precept of restraint and religious observances, the precept of obedience to all good laws, the precept to benefit all sentient beings. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. With this recitation, I do confirm my acceptance of these 10 grave prohibitive precepts. Not to lead a harmful life, nor to encourage others to do so. Not to take that which is not given. Not to commit or participate in unchaste conduct. Not to tell lies nor practice believing the fantasies of authority. Not to use intoxicating drinks or narcotics, nor assist others to do so. Not to publish other people's faults. Not to extol oneself and slander others. Not to be avaricious in bestowal of the teachings. Not to be angry, not to speak ill of this religion or any other. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. In the practice of loving kindness, in the practice of pure attention, in the practice of ever-expanding faith, in the practice of constant devotion, in the practice of inquiry through correct dhyana. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. O happy blessed day, O happy blessed place, O happy blessed time, O happy blessed path, O happy blessed opportunity. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Here, in humble submission, in order to experience this most perfect now, I deeply vow and sacrifice all thoughts, all tensions, all pressures, and desires. I am born of karma. I am heir to karma. I abide in karma, and I am supported by karma. Whatever I do creates karma, and I shall surely experience this karma. The merit for all good acts I do freely offer to all beings. Dutiyampi satyampi sabha. Again and yet again, may it be so. Willingness is the name of the key to the gate of awakening. For even to awaken from deep sleep and face the new day, there must be the willingness to do it. Here in my hand is the opportunity, and the way is clear beyond the gate of thought and desire. There is no self and other, and the awareness of pure, undeserved consciousness slips into all consciousness. We are here to end suffering. If ending suffering is more important than anything, we will end suffering. If ending suffering is not more important than anything, we will not end suffering. If I am suffering, it is because I am choosing something over ending suffering. We are not here to create and cling to beliefs. We are here to pay attention. We are here to use everything in our experience to see how we cause ourselves to suffer, so we can drop that and end suffering. What shall we look at this morning? Penny.
I'm having this really interesting workshop on communication, mm-hmm. or in communication. So I'm part of an organization that was defunct for a while and is sort of reassembling, and there's this little adjunct part of it, and the adjunct part wants to do something that this part doesn't really want to do. Anyway, so there was an email that was a couple of emails sent from the adjunct part about what this person wanted to do, and so several people responded. Just why it didn't feel like a good way to go about doing what the person was trying to do. I was one of those people. And then there's a response to that, and then I responded to that, and I thought, I'm done now. And then the person started to get into kind of recrimination. So I made one more response. But what was interesting to watch in all that was, just when is it appropriate to respond? Mm-hmm. And how respond with compassionate speech that makes for clarity? You know, to how respond just trying to go for clarity? Mm-hmm. Especially when I project, the other person is getting more and more into sort of wounded ego, and I'm being persecuted because people are disagreeing with me. Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. I felt like it was possible to do that. It was possible to just stick with the issue and try to be clear. Mm-hmm. And but I was just aware of, you know, well, there was a certain pull to want to say, that's not what we're doing, mm-hmm. sort of that way. Mm-hmm. And not going to that. But just it was just interesting to watch that. When is it appropriate to respond? When is one still trying to clarify a situation? And when are we getting into defending my position, mm-hmm. and it felt like, so far anyway, I've stopped short of the defending my position. But what an interesting workshop, mm-hmm. you know. Mm-hmm. We talk and hear so much about communication, and two things I saw in that because of how events developed is one is it really brought home to me the wisdom of not operating from urgency. Mm-hmm. Because part of what developed was people responding really quickly to something and just saying, I'm going to go do this thing. Uh-huh. And then, and also responding without stopping to think of Are there other people here that I ought to consult?
Uh-huh.
So we had some sort of rogue activities going on.
Uh-huh.
And just how unhelpful that is, how really helpful it is to, in a sense, seek guidance, seek input, try something out. And really trying to discern, kind of ride that place between getting into an argument and trying actually to help clarify a situation.
Yeah, because it sounds like the process that you were in was a process of communication for clarity.
Yeah.
That was your process. So you weren't acting in urgency, because we know that doesn't lead to clarity. You were kind of looking at all these different things, you know, all of that. So that's the process. And then you got some signals that there's a different process going on. We can project on this other side, because it feels like, okay, we'll say, if I were saying that, I would be in a different process. I would not be in a process of clarity. I would be in the process of defending my position,
right,
what I wanted.
Yeah.
And then to look at all of that, all of those things going on in the mind of, just sort of like, it's so interesting.
It is interesting. And you know, part of what's so interesting is, in a sense, everyone involved in this is going for the same thing.
Uh-huh.
Everybody's on the same side. And watching how divisiveness can happen despite that.
Yes.
And how sad that is. And how unnecessary that is.
Uh-huh. Yeah. That's such a good point. Because here you are, this group, that even within the group has a split, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you all have the same, you know, goal, ostensibly, right? The same purpose or the same desire. And to see that, to see the way that those little cracks of divisiveness get in anywhere, because it's a process that happens. It's not a thing that just can be located somewhere. It's a process that can happen anywhere, like a virus or like anything.
Yeah, and just when ego gets involved, you know, it's all about separation, actually.
Yeah.
And I guess that's all I have to say. It's been a really interesting workshop, and I just felt grateful to have something to come back to. You know, ways of learning to communicate, trying anyway, making the best attempt to come not from ego and not being in the argument and not just defending, and recognizing the impulse to do that, all of that.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Well, and recognizing that impulse within ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if this is where you go with it, but it can engender a lot of compassion.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
That's what makes it feel so sort of sad and unfortunate.
Uh-huh.
Because everybody's trying to do the same thing.
Yeah. So under the sad and unfortunate is really a lot of compassion.
Yeah.
Yeah, that we're all really trying to do the same thing. This isn't necessary.
That's right.
It's not helpful. There's another way.
Yeah.
And then it sounds like that leads you back to gratitude that you have access to a path that, and a practice, and a, you know, all of that you can take refuge in.
Yeah, and it really was not a matter of taking it personally.
Yeah.
Just, and another little addendum to that was, so some of these emails have gone back and forth to a group. So someone wrote an email just to me from that group, thanking me for being really clear, and since she said all these, it was thrown together a whole lot of really laudatory adjectives.
Mm-hmm.
And I just went to, there's a moment of conditioning saying, well, you don't deserve that.
Mm.
And what it came was, well, she thinks I do.
Mm.
And that was the end of it.
Mm-hmm.
It was so nice. It was so nice not to get involved in that either.
Yeah, not to let that little divisiveness come right there too.
Same thing.
Yeah.
It's supposed to creep in there.
And what you're underlining, what I want to underline about what you said is the power of presence.
Hmm.
It just disappeared. It could at the end of it. It cannot stand up to the power of his presence. Well, she thinks
that's true.
You know, you weren't going with it. You weren't believing it. You weren't leaving where you were, where she was. You know, to go with that. You know, unkind voice, and that unkindness couldn't. You know, just couldn't take the light of day.
Yeah, it didn't in this case. Yeah.
Well, and it can't.
Because yeah, when we're present.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It just can't stand up in the presence of presence.
Right. Right.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah. I was watching a big workshop around communication just internally during the sit, where I was sitting and there was this kind of horrendous level of suffering going on, mm-hmm. and that kind of hell me tunnel. And I dropped in when group. You told me about it.
Uh-huh.
And there was just that expansion,
uh-huh.
relaxation, softening. And then what came in was this message of something like, but if you talk about this, it will be used against you. Mm-hmm. It's like, whoa. I could really feel the feeling of that, that kind of paranoid
uh-huh.
closing down, separating off.
Uh-huh.
And it's just like, it really truly like God and the devil wrestling for the soul, because it's like I can see that that ego trying to get me identified with defending and protecting it,
yes.
and feeling like something's going to be lost or made vulnerable by putting out there what the calm is doing, and it's just and you can see that it's like the Project Joy assignment from this week about choosing the familiar hell, that as long as I'm choosing not to put it out there, I'm choosing
yeah.
the familiar
yeah.
hell and choosing some sort of attachment to that.
Yeah.
So, as you can tell, I'm going for the...
Yes, right. You're switching.
Putting it out there option. Yeah.
Uh-huh.
So, what I'm seeing, I'm just seeing so much about how the karma does what it does.
Mm-hmm.
And in a workshop of practicing not taking it personally and getting on the side of life and getting support for the human.
Mm-hmm.
And part of what I'm seeing is just I was asked a question, why are you willing to live in this level of stress? And it was like one of those wake-up slaps
mm-hmm.
where I started to be able to see how much stress I was living in.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah,
because there's something about that question itself that enables the disidentifying to putting too much. Oh, that's
exactly. And it was like that question dropping in through the day, like slicing into these moments to show me
yes.
the stress that I was in, or you know, just over everything through the day,
uh-huh.
And seeing how that's all happening in a conversation in the head.
Yes.
It reminds me of that a story about a woman who sat down with a Zen teacher and started talking, and the Zen teacher just said, "You're the most neurotic person I've ever met," and a woman woke right up.
Uh-huh.
No, it's like, yeah. Why are you living?
Oh my God, you're right.
Exactly. Uh-huh. Let me see it. Oh my gosh, what's that? Oh, that's right. Oh my gosh. So, and what I'm seeing about how it happens is it's like, you know, like in the body, there's homeostasis where everything's working to maintain a certain temperature and a certain like that.
Mm-hmm.
It's like with the karma, it's all working to maintain a certain level of stress
mm-hmm.
and trauma and strife and messed upness
mm-hmm.
with everything. All working to keep that level of adrenaline and stress.
Mm-hmm.
And the gift of it is being in an environment, being in the monastic environment where everything is supporting the authentic human beyond measure,
yes.
you know.
Yeah.
And getting to see how in this environment, against this, you know, blank white wall in this container, how the karma is working around the clock to create a reality of not being supported, of isolation, of stress,
mm-hmm.
of strife, of fighting, of all of the opposite of what's
being
actually
here.
So,
yeah.
Exactly. And so, a time for an example.
Mm-hmm.
A concrete example. So, I noticed this level of stress being created around things like resources. So, I noticed that when something starts to run out, like toothpaste
mm-hmm.
or propane at my Hermitage, there starts to be this whole level of kind of freaking out about it on some level in the conversation. And it has to do with things like somehow some sort of blame for it running out.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
mm-hmm.
Not that there's any like
extravagant
use of any of these things, but somehow
it's your fault you're running out of toothpaste.
Exactly.
Yeah. Like, how is it you're running out of toothpaste?
Exactly. How could you be? How could like some sort of deep self-hating thing of why are you using it? Why taking up all this stuff? Mm-hmm. Anyway, so some level of that comes in, and then that leads to a whole like avoidance and procrastination, and then this crisis and drama of running out of the thing, mm-hmm. which can either lead to like asking about it at the very last minute, and then that testing, like, is life going to be there to mm-hmm. help me survive and mm-hmm. help me get what I need, that pushing drama, or not asking about it and then going for ages without it.
Mm.
And it's just like, none of this is real. Nothing in the environment is
indicating a shortage of either of those objects.
Right? Exactly. So everything here is generously, abundantly offered.
Yeah.
Everything that authentically supports the human is offered with a yes and a,
yeah.
you know.
Yeah.
And so to see how the karma is working to create these levels of stress and shortage and lack and scarcity and fear and the fear of abandonment and isolation and not surviving is just a very, very incredible gift
uh-huh.
to be getting to see it at this level.
Well, and yes, and it sounds like what you're also seeing is that it requires the human's cooperation in order
mm-hmm.
to keep its round-the-clock spiel going.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Because that's what you just started out with is, I'm moving to the other side. I'm putting it out there. I'm not going to buy the threat, the dire descriptions, the stress-inducing comments, the accusations. I'm not going to go with those anymore.
Yes.
Because where I actually am, what is actually real is support, abundance, offering, loving kindness, all of those things. And that question that was put to you, why are you willing to endure all this stress?
Yeah.
Slices through that old karma and really, it sounds like in a way, kind of carves the path for the human to move over to that other side.
Exactly, because there's something about that question that shows me the level of stress and also shows me the level of, as you put it, cooperation, collusion,
uh-huh.
the way that attention on that conversation is what's keeping it going.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
That, like, why are you willing to do this?
Yeah, yeah.
You know, why are you willing,
why are you willing to be phrased that way?
Exactly.
Instead of, wow, you're under a lot of stress. Maybe it would make it sound like you don't have anything to do with it. You can't help
right.
it.
Right. Or maybe somehow be a bit victimized. You know,
yeah.
victimized by it instead of, can you see how, it's like, you know, if I'm suffering, it's because I'm choosing something over ending suffering. And we're using everything in our experience to see how we cause ourselves to suffer so we can drop that and end suffering.
Mm-hmm.
And here's this, you know, invitation to see you're causing yourself to suffer. What's going on with it?
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
it's just, I mean, you can, it's just that opportunity to not to take any of it personally, because this is like lifetimes of,
You didn't create it. You didn't make it. You didn't set it up. You just inherited it.
Right. And I get to clean it up.
And you get to clean it up.
And just to keep moving to that place of fascination, excitement, rolling the sleeves up. All right. This is a messy room. Let's clean it up. And
well, and I just want to underline the excitement. I mean,
yes.
Just in your demeanor, just then. You know how to do it. You even enjoy doing it.
I do.
You know,
it's true.
Yeah. And so to kind of remember that.
Exactly.
You know, record that. Okay, I love this. I love this. This is what I chose to do this. I love it.
Exactly. Exactly. I wouldn't. It's like there's nothing else I'd rather be doing.
Yeah.
And so to exactly as you say, keep on recording about that. Keep on listening to it, because otherwise the attention gets pulled back to the stress, the strife, the crisis, the constant trauma, also reminds me of something that we were talking about recently, where it's like, this karma is here to clean up. Life must be adequate to cleaning it up.
Yeah.
Oh, like, you know, I'm supported by karma. This, I mean, really, truly, this is supporting me to wake up.
Yes. Really? Isn't that amazing to consider?
Yeah.
That, okay, all of this is here, so therefore, life is adequate to meeting it. In fact, it's all support, it's all unfolding perfectly for this human being to wake up.
Yes.
That's what it, that's what we're doing here.
Right, exactly, which is the whole movement, isn't it? Because there's that, like, attention on that, like, hostile universe.
Mm-hmm.
Or here, the seeing how everything is supporting me to wake up and saying thank you for it. So can I find me in hell or in heaven?
And the example you pointed out is so helpful because it breaks it into moment by moment instances mm-hmm. where that movement can be made.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm noticing the toothpaste is getting low. Okay, there's the opportunity. The moment I notice it.
Yes.
To move to the side of well-being and cared for and all of that and take some action to do something, right?
Exactly.
And, okay, I noticed the propane flow. There's the moment. There's the moment it's dropping in.
Exactly. There's the moment it's dropping in and the calm is right there to pull it into that whole scarcity, fear, self-hate
person.
And, yeah, and it's like... I mean, it really is dropping the conversation, because in that, something other than the karma can get to be acted out.
And that is how we are supported by karma.
Because we have to.
Because if that karma weren't there trying to pull you into the scarcity, deprivation, all of that, it wouldn't be that... choice point for the human to step up and choose what is actually here, to wake up to what is actually so.
Yeah.
Namely, in this case, there's plenty, I just need to write a note or whatever it is, right? You know?
Yeah. Thank you.
Sequoia.
Well, a few things. First of all, that first conversation. It was such a great training conversation for why the privileged environment. I thought that it should be recorded, and every time people ask why do we have to have the privileged environment, well, we should just listen to this.
Yeah.
Because it's just
March.
such a great example of what happens when the communication, there's not a guide for the communication to go through, or the advantage of the privileged environment of having that,
Well, there's not a willingness to kind of go to that larger place of guidance, right? That was described.
We all know. I know that place of like, God, somebody's asking me. I've got to give them my response.
Yeah.
You know, and it's been just the most challenging thing for me in practice is to not respond.
Not act out of that.
And not act out of that, you know, that I'm with a situation right now. Someone has asked a response for me, and you know, and I've let a month go by and no response. And everything in me is like, I have to do something. You know, to just let it be, I don't have clarity.
And then not everything in you is saying that.
Yeah. Well, only through the gift of practice.
Uh-huh.
You know, to be able to just say,
I don't have clarity.
I'm not responding. You know, and
wow, don't forget where you're going, but just to not miss that that point.
Uh-huh.
Because there's a lot in you that is wanting you to go with that urgency, and you're not.
Yeah.
Even after a month.
Uh-huh.
No clarity, no response.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, thank goodness for these great training wheels, you know. And so that just was so helpful for me to see that once again, and why the guy is just so hard line about the privileged environment, because it was just so easy to see what would happen to this practice. Because we all just have great ideas, you know. They're really good ideas.
In quotes. Yeah.
And that, and to just, to just see what what the it's needed to protect.
Yeah.
The practice, and you know, as was pointed to earlier, you know, this everyone's in it for a really the same good cause.
Yeah.
And how it can, even though we're in it for the same good cause, how it can get derailed by that that ego impulse.
So to just reflect what you're saying, because it is such a critical point about practice, which is we're all here to wake up and end suffering. That's what we're here for.
Mm-hmm.
And the privileged environment is the structure, the compassionate self-discipline that we all sort of agree, even if before we even realize how helpful it is, we are held to it, because that's the water in which we swim around here, right?
Yeah.
And so to have that, and what you're expressing is the tremendous gratitude and the realization of how valuable it is to preserve and support us in what we're all here to do, right?
It's so interesting. I mean, you know, it took me a long time to get when we do that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that there was just a willingness to do it, mm-hmm. because it was a guideline, and mm-hmm. you know, and someone that looked like they were having a happier life than mine, you know, was saying, you know, mm-hmm. this is really important,
mm-hmm.
and to hang in there and trust that.
Such a good point. To hang in there and trust that, even when we don't see why, but we see that somebody that looks really happy is saying it's important, so I'm going to go with that. And that willingness to do that, and then as time goes by and our practice deepens, we get to see it.
That was what, you know, mm-hmm. it wasn't just some crazy made up idea, you know, that this was really, I also could resonate a whole lot with the karmic orientation towards stress, mm-hmm. da 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 da. And something just, a long time ago the guy said to me, you cannot allow one more moment of stress, you just can't. And I'm like, what is she talking about? I don't know how you could do that. Easy for her to say, she doesn't have my blah, 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 you know, that sort of thing. Oh my gosh. And, just and how long it takes to just look at, like, okay, so what's the karmic orientation in this? You know, what am I bringing to this?
Uh-huh.
Instead of feeling kind of victimized, like, uh-huh. well, of course I'm stressed. You know, there's this happening and this happening and this happening, uh-huh. and you know, that whole place of being able to stand back and say, it's that thing of, you know, it's that thing of going at it with, this is very interesting, we're going in here to find out what the heck is going on here, versus laying back and being rolled over, like, you know, I can't help myself, sort of thing.
Yeah.
And
it's more powerful. I'm in circumstances beyond my control, so this is the only response available to me. It's stress. So I'm the victim of, and I'm weak, and I don't have any, whatever. So there's that, karmic orientation. And then there's, what is going on? Kind of roll up our sleeves and figure out what to look at and pay attention. Start listening. Start watching what people who seem happier than us are doing.
Mm-hmm.
What, you know, who aren't, you know, and it's an entirely different disposition that is available.
Mm. Yeah, it's really helpful. that's really helpful to look at this morning, because I, you know, I see when things, when tension starts to build through the voice, the conversation and the circumstances and all that, oh, the pull is so strong to get through it. It's that flinging sort of place. I just, you know, just fling things, just survive, just get through, you know. And to just see that, oh, that's the trick, that's the information right there. Yeah. You know,
that's the indicator.
That karma's that karma is just getting triggered. Now can you just breathe?
Yeah.
You know, and watch this whole thing just, you know.
It feels so relaxing even to just hear you say that. Okay, there it is. There's the trigger. Because it's not like, there's the trigger! Because that would just be...
No.
Okay, there's the trigger. Can you just breathe?
Yeah. It's funny. Knotted hoses. You know, garden hoses? Are what? are one of those things. I can tell that there must be a whole lot of stress going on and building of like survival. You know, I just get, and then a hose, you know, trying to pull a hose to the garden and it getting a knot in it and it getting hooked on something.
Yeah.
It's like I will just go off. I will just go nuts so crazy about that darn hose, and it's that. It's the tipping point for that kind of accumulated stress.
So let me see if I'm making So there you are, kind of going along, watering or whatever. Mm-hmm. And then here's a perfect metaphor for how that happens internally. Mm-hmm. A knotted or a stuck or a tangled hose. Like when you can't pull it, when you can't move, keep going, when it just like sets you off, and that's your trigger, that's your sign.
And that's one of those I know that I'll not be able to watch out for when that starts to go like, okay, clue here,
big clue
that that we're in karma here, and so I'm really grateful for that. And the other thing I just want to say, the reference to we're here to clean it up. I don't know. I just saw something that I wanted to just look at a little bit, and that is my life has been a progression of improvement in my housekeeping skills. When I was younger. Oh my God. And I was deep in karma.
Zero skills.
And I did not know it. I had zero skills. If you walked into my home, in fact, I had a landlord one time, he refused to give me my cleaning deposit back. He didn't even want to look after I moved out. He wouldn't even go to look because I just know it's possible they could not be cleaning. And it wasn't clean. It took care of me. But, you know, there was that kind of such intense level of survival that nothing could be taken care of around me. Nothing. And so I've watched over time as more kindness and more love has been able to take residence, that the environment has also has been reflected that. And it's still not perfect. And I don't know, I was just looking at that this morning, because Zen has such a an association with that kind of a simplicity and that beauty and, you know, everything being cared for around one. And I don't know what I'm trying to say, but I just saw they're one and the same.
Yeah, that's where I was going.
Yeah.
There's no separation.
There's no separation there. And I was just looking at, I don't know, it's probably possible to go in it through either door. To not go, you know, I often went into cleaning the mess in my, I always went into the cleaning the mess in my house out of self-hate. Like, oh my God, I would flip to the other side. You know, I'd go one side or the other, leave everything just completely unkempt. And then I would flip over to, well, we've got to get the grout clean in the shower with the toothbrush, you know. It's just flipping back and forth, you know.
Yeah. And, but that other place of just like, I can take care of this one thing in front of me right now with great love. And letting that have a cumulative effect. And I've just been feeling more the ability to do that lately.
Wow. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's so beautiful. There's a phrase that we sometimes use, the slight edge of just sort of, okay, if I can just do this one, not it, I can do just this one thing. Just this one, I can put the dish back with love. Okay, now I can do this one thing that's right in front of me. And in that way, there's no self-hate. There's no room for self-hate because love is taking up all the space in a human's life. Whereas before, when we attend to the self-hating voices, it can yank us from one extreme to the other. In both ways. You may have the cleanest house, the cleanest grout, the cleanest everything, but you're living in self-hate. Or you could be on the other end of the spectrum, living in the biggest mess and be mired in self-hate. But with the other way that you described, the way that you are seeing is living it. And as you said, I think that's a really interesting point. You can go from either outside in or inside out. You know, caring for this and it's taking residence here, or it's taking residence here and manifesting out. It doesn't matter because we live in a non-separate reality, right?
Right.
But that's what's happening.
Mm-hmm.
The love is rooted, period.
Yeah.
Either in the human or in the world or in the everything, but that's what everything is stemming from.
Which is really interesting. As you're reflecting that, I was just seeing that... when I was younger, I was prone to panic attacks, and sometimes just, you know, that general feeling out of control.
Mm-hmm.
And the only thing that really supported me when things were just spinning out is, to pick up the screwdriver and go straighten the license plate on the back of the car, or to fix that loose screw, or to do something that was just required my full attention and my hands, my physical, just to be interacting in that way physically with something, instead of mentally, it saved the day.
Mm-hmm.
And it still is. I mean, when we get an assignment, it's like, go sweep the porch.
I know.
That's the best. Yeah.
And I project what was saving the day was it was getting you here.
Yep.
It was getting you out of that panic swirl of a conversation in the head and getting you here by engaging your body, your hands, your every being, every part of your being. It's such a gift. Yeah, and to live in that, because we are physical beings living in a physical world.
Without a body that one, and so just to come back in the body, it just solves a lot of.
I know. I often think that how grateful to have it. Like on Saturdays, we often do tasks and cleaning chores or whatnot. Just to have. I'm so grateful to have those things to do, to show up for, that are asked or required or offered or whatever, they're there.
Mm-hmm.
And we get to participate in a way that is so present enabling, I guess, would be one way of saying it.
and then we add the year-long retreat assignment yesterday from Mother Teresa to love.
Mm-hmm.
Everything, love till it hurts, and the assignment was to just love everything and everyone that we come in contact with.
Yeah.
And so that also brings another good element to cleaning.
Yeah. Oh, I'm so in love with you floors. I'm so in love with you bathrooms.
Yeah. And I saw an interesting thing going on with that too. There was the action of cleaning and actually observing that it was being very loving, while this
was going on,
mm-hmm. telling me exactly how I wasn't. I had no love in it, and it was just like, oh my God! I was just the contrast was very glaring.
Uh huh.
It's like, that's funny. When I look at what that person's doing, it looks very loving. But boy, it's not the narrative I'm receiving at all. Isn't that weird?
Uh-huh.
You know? So, yeah.
Don't you love it when ego just overplays its hand?
I know.
It's like, oh no. You know, it's so obvious the discrepancy or the.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
And what's being said and what's actually being experienced.
Yeah.
Yeah.
June, that conversation just completely described my karma, my life, process to the effect, just right down to the finest detail.
Uh-huh.
The place that I am so privileged to live is, I think, about 19 times bigger from the place you guys live.
Uh-huh.
And there's lots of times where every square inch of it needs attention.
Uh-huh.
And I literally cannot do it.
Uh-huh.
And I just made peace with, I need help.
Uh-huh.
And and kind of embrace the notion that perhaps if we believe in talent, I just don't have a particular talent for that the kind of organization and focus that it might take to keep the place I live looking very careful and zen-like.
Mm-hmm.
I just don't have that.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of the self-hate and talk in my head around that has calmed down over years, and it has taken years.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm grateful for that.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And when you were talking about, I can do this, I can put this plate away with love, I can do that.
Mm-hmm.
I love that place. I love it, and I forget to go there. Yeah. So it's a good place to make recordings.
Yes. Oh, it is such a good reminder that that's available.
Yeah.
I can go. And, you know, and another thing that you said, June, to underline is that the process that you described in, okay, I can't seem to take care of all this square footage. This is beyond me for whatever reason, talent or whatever reason. I can ask for help. I can get help and make peace with that. And I can put this one thing away with love, and I know I love that place. I love that place. I'm going to support myself in remembering to go there by making a recording or whatever. It's a very caring and supportive process, whether it's the care of getting help for the house or care for the human of going to that place that she loves to live in that, by the way, also cares for the house. You know, it's just all a process of care.
Yeah. And as you're talking, it occurs to me, I could spend a lot of time in that, do this one thing with love, put this book away,
mm-hmm.
Clear this little table with love.
Yeah.
And it's very possible that someone could then walk into my house and there'd be no evidence that had happened.
Uh-huh.
I wouldn't know that it did.
Exactly. And who cares, right? If there was no evidence.
Yeah,
because
someone does.
But, we know who that is, right? Who's going to point that out? because you don't care. You know, you just said, because I don't care. I know that that was done with love. And you have that experience. Yeah.
So on a different subject.
Uh-huh.
I've gotten pretty hooked into the daily drama, the daily political drama.
Mm-hmm.
It's every day. And there's a level at which it is fascinating.
Mm-hmm.
And sitting down to meditate today, that's all that was there.
Mm-hmm.
There's just loud and all that. And it was good that that happened. It was good to sit there and see it going on in that way of that was a choice point. Do I meet this with kindness, or do I meet this with judgment? Do I meet the fact that the choice gets made to really focus on all the big drama? I could have a start that sentence.
It's good to see, because there's a choice point that you get to see. You get to see.
Yeah. And, right. I get to see what's going on,
mm-hmm.
what the results of engaging in the drama.
Yes.
Are what those results are.
Yeah.
And okay, do I want to go quite this far down that road?
Yeah.
Do I want to put so much energy into that?
Uh-huh.
If sitting down for 30 minutes and focusing is quite beyond my ability, if the energy is so wrapped that getting quiet for a few minutes is severely compromised. So I get to answer that question.
Yeah. Let me see if I'm tracking. If what I want is to be able to sit down and meditate and just get quiet for a few minutes, and that's compromised by my... how did you start it out? You're succumbing to the whatever, the daily drama. I don't know how you said it, but yeah. If that's making that less accessible to me, then I get to see, do I really want to do that? Because that seems to be impacting my, you know, ability or whatever to sit in silence. And it's good. It's not a mistake that any of that happened, because you get to see it. Oh, if I do this, if I watch this every day and get all sucked into the daily drama, then it's going to have some impact. And I get to see what that impact is. And then I get to choose whether I really want that or not.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And as you're reflecting, I'm really honest. I know when I'm doing it, what it's doing.
Mm-hmm.
I know when I'm being... choosing all the drama, what's very likely happening.
The outcome.
I'm not totally innocent.
But there's a little layer of level of collusion that's going on. That, okay, I know that when I'm
gosh, isn't it?
Yeah.
Isn't it energizing?
Yeah. Yeah, it sometimes like reminds me of something. It's like I'll consciously overeat. So be like, oh, okay, I know, body, I'm sorry, but I'm going to do this. You know, and I know what's going on, and I'll take the, I'll take the karma, I'll take it. You know, so okay, I'm gonna, chow down on this drama, and I know what's gonna happen, but I'm still doing it. And can even that be a place of no self hate?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, thank you. Krista,
is it not?
Yes.
I wanted to look at a process that when I see, when I wake up, as I wake up to a pattern, what gets my attention is anger. And it's a very long time, like my whole life I feel this pattern. So feels related to being a twin in that I somehow gave away my knowing, or maybe I didn't have knowing, I thought I was a twin. So, and then I, as my life has gone on, my practice has gone on, I discover my own knowing. And in my own knowing, then I can see that where I gave away the power of the knowing, actually that person, the other people can be quite off. But what they have in common is they're very, have a lot of conviction in what they're doing, which is fine, it's all fine. The where the thing is, the hook is, so then I'm angry about something, and then behind the anger is what I'm waking up to in myself. And I just, it's like, so, I mean, I think really earlier in my life, I was just angry. So, but now I don't think that I'm not angry anymore, but then there's this anger that comes up. And then behind the anger is the information that's there for me. But there's this great desire to be able to have the information without the anger. And that's where the hook is that I'm wanting the awakening to not have to go through this awakening of the pattern or the seeing or whatever, not having to become angry to get there.
So what catches your attention in the pattern is the anger. And there's a strong desire not to have to experience the anger to get at the information that seems to be behind the anger, that the anger maybe is covering. And you'd rather just get the information, get the awakening, realize what's going on without having to go through the anger.
Right, and it's a very, it's a, that just even that pattern seems like a lifelong pattern. That the anger, behind the anger is the thing I'm looking for. I mean, it's not a conscious looking, but you know, the place I'm looking for is right behind that anger. But I want to just, like, okay, it's a long time now. It's a lot of years of practice. Can I just have the place without the anger? You know, and, like,
please, can I just have this with no anger?
I'll have this dish without the anger.
Cut the anger.
Like, getting to involved. Awareness, no anger.
Awareness, no anger. And what do you,
so the anger is, so often when I see the anger is that what I wake up to is so often that I, it's behind it is always this, I feel this anger with myself, in that the anger is that I deny the knowing to myself for so many years.
So the anger is the sense, is a recognition of I denied what I knew.
That's the anger.
And
it can seem like it's about the thing, like it's about my twin sister.
Yeah.
And how I've gone with what she said. And I'm like, but, and I know that's not the right thing for me. And it can seem like the anger is about her and the situation. It's not.
No.
The anger is that I knew and didn't acknowledge what I knew, or I didn't even acknowledge that I knew, or the anger that I just handed over the authority to hear anyone, to take it.
And it's like, dang it, I did it again, like that. So there's the anger. I knew better. I knew what I want, and I handed it over to those people.
Right. Anyone in my life that would take it, really.
And so what? So when you see that process happen,
from the anger
of your handing the life you're knowing over to someone else, kind of abandoning what you knew and going on with someone else. Mm-hmm. When you recognize that process, what would you rather feel instead of the anger?
Well, wouldn't it be cool to have like a little celebratory party feeling?
Uh-huh.
Because that's actually what it is.
Exactly, yeah.
Because
it's a
reality.
Celebration.
Like, the place that I have just seen is what I have been searching for all these years.
Yeah.
But that's like a small quiet place, and the anger is like a big giant thing of balloons. So you see the balloons and you don't see the small quiet place.
Uh-huh.
I mean, I see. That's what I would like.
So what would be one way that you could transmute the anger to a celebration when you feel it come up?
What I feel, because I always like the anger is that process that I do, like if it's the anger, like, oh yeah, I did it again.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, I did it again.
And so what you want is to change that energy, change the interpretation of that big energy of, yeah, I did it again.
Or the anger at myself. Oh, well, but I'm saying, oh, I'm angry at myself, and it all fits like the same pattern. So say again.
What would be one way that you could change that energy or make it into a celebration? Woohoo! Even if it sounds like an angry woohoo, you know, or whatever, you know, to basically what you want, it sounds like, is to redefine that energy. Because it's all just energy, right? And now it's looking and feeling and getting labeled and getting experienced as anger. And you want to make it as a celebration instead.
Right. Instead of the anger that I, like, this place was abandoned.
Yeah.
And I'm angry because of the abandonment. It's this celebration.
That you see.
Because I'm here. I'm seeing it.
Exactly. You want to celebrate being there. Being here for seeing it. Uh-huh.
Right. So the question is, how could I shift in that moment from the anger, oh yeah, there's anger and abandonment, to, and here's the reward.
And to the celebration.
To the celebration.
Mm-hmm.
Well, perhaps we could put this out to our panel of experts, because just this is a rather...
One other suggestion, since I...
You're one of the experts on the panel.
Since you... Got it. So here's a suggestion, is to put to the panel of expert of Krista through the recording and listening process. So to take that question and do a two-handed recording with it. Okay, mentor, what would be a way that we can work with this anger and turn it into a celebration? That's what I want. That's what my heart wants. I want to celebrate the presence of seeing how I turn over, you know, what I know to someone else. And I see it, and it's a good thing. And, it, you know, so what can we do about this anger? And then let the mentor respond. And then
report back. Okay, well, I'll try that. That's a fun idea. Did anyone of the other panel experts want to share, or should I just wait?
Well, I think in the interest of time, we'll let you
report back. Well, the panel of Krista, expert.
The expert of Krista, yeah, you're a panel of one.
Okay, or the panel of... panel. It could be two mentors.
That's right, Krista and
the
mentor.
We'll wait for them to share and I'll report back.
Yeah.
All right, well, thank you.
Thank you. And thank you all.